Last Monday, I was reading the paper. I usually only read the paper on Monday because my brother buys one for my mom on Sunday, and then they leave it, and I pick up a piece or two of it and read. But I was reading a poll that they took of people all over the country, 21 years and older, and they asked the question, what do you talk about? What do you talk about? And so here's the breakdown. 25% of those 21 years and older said they talk about sports. 18% said they talk about some other amusement, like bowling or, you know, something like that. I guess, well, I don't know, bowling's a sport though, isn't it, Harry? So, I mean, I don't know, some other amusement. 16% talk about what's going on in the world and in our country. 15% talk about work. 12% talk about the past and the future. 8% talk about their family. And very last, the smallest percentage, 6% talk about religion and God. And so I got my pen out, and I put a big X through that article in the paper, and I wrote off to the side, this is backwards. This is upside down. And that little course came into my mind Monday morning, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. And that course has been running through my head all week. Tuesday, my mom and I, and I don't even know who it was. It was one of these talk show hosts. And I never, ever watch them except when I'm with her and I don't have anything else to do. And so they were watching, and it was just, it was a story about a little girl, 4 years old. Her parents discovered that she had leukemia when she was less than a year old. And this story just traced the steps of them fighting that dreaded disease from the time they discovered it until the time that she passed away and went to heaven at 4 years old. And just so you know, I believe that babies go to heaven. I believe they haven't reached the age of accountability yet, and I believe that God takes them into His kingdom. And I was watching that story, and it was just a heartbreak. I mean, I put myself in their place. My kids are older than 4 years old, but I thought, I wonder what I would do if my grandson, one of my grandsons, contracted a disease like that. I wonder if I would have the faith that those parents had as they told their story. And I got to talking to God a little bit about it. I said, God, you know, sometimes I just don't understand why you do things the way you do it. I mean, there's plenty of people that are older in years that are living wicked lives. If you want to take somebody, why don't you take one of them? Why would you take a little innocent 4-year-old girl? I mean, it just doesn't seem fair. And there was something that spoke to my heart. I mean, well, I didn't hear a voice out loud. I don't want anybody to go away thinking about that. But I heard a voice in my heart that said, if you want to think about something unfair, think about Jesus. And again, that little course went through my mind. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. I read, as part of my Bible reading last week, the four Gospels. And I read at the end of each of those Gospels about the trial, crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And again, as I was reading those Gospels, that little course came back to mind. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. And then yesterday, as I was finalizing what was going to be our theme for the month of March, I thought about Easter. And I thought, well, let's just have the theme, He Lives. Let's just remind ourselves every week this month that we have a living Savior, a risen Savior, a resurrected Savior. And again, that course came back to my mind. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. This morning I have a very simple sermon. It revolves around the fact that that course has been ringing in my head and in my heart all week. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's think about Jesus, because when we think about Jesus, when we talk about Jesus, we are reminded of three things. Just three, Brother Terrell, not seven, just three things we're reminded of. First of all, we are reminded of the price that he paid for our sins. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You know, as we celebrate Easter this month, we're going to think again about the crucifixion. We're going to think about it tonight as we have the Lord's Supper, as we do on Sunday night of five Sunday months. We're going to think about the crucifixion. But you know, as we think about the crucifixion, I think most of us, even good Christians, we've sanitized it. We've cleaned it up. We don't really think about everything that Jesus endured as he was crucified on that cross. I mean, just for a few minutes this morning, just stop and think about everything that Jesus endured for that period of time, just a few hours from the time he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane until he was nailed to that cross and hung between heaven and earth. The Bible says that he was taken to Pilate, and his soldiers and then Herod's soldiers beat him with their fist. They beat him not only with their fists, but they slapped him. The Bible says they took the hairs of his beard and pulled those out of his face. They blindfolded him, and as they beat him and slapped him and said, "Hey, you're a prophet. Tell us which one of us struck that blow. Tell us which one of us punched you or slapped you." And he was beaten by thugs of soldiers. I mean, it wasn't just light taps. It was punch and punch and punch, punch after punch, as hard as they could into his face and into his body. And then the Bible tells us that he was taken out and beaten with a cat of nine tails, a whip that had nine lashes on it. And at the end of each of those lashes was a sharp stone or a sharp piece of metal. And again, they had an old burly Roman soldier that manned that whip. I mean, it wasn't a thin, weak soldier. It was a big, strong soldier. And 39 lashes he gave Jesus. 39 times he reared back with that whip and let it go. And those lashes would wrap themselves around the body of the person that was being whipped. And those stones and those sharp pieces of metal would dig into that person's back. And then as the soldier yanked the whip back, it would tear flesh from that person's back. Think about the crown of thorns that the soldiers formed. Not just little thorns, but thorns that were about long. And I don't know how they did it. They must have wore gloves as they weaved it together so that it would not prick their fingers. But they took that crown of thorns and they pressed it, forced it down on the head of our Savior. And so from his face and his body where he was beaten, he bled. From his back that was whipped with that cat of nine tails, he bled. From that crown of thorns that they forced down on his head, he bled. I mean, and then they took him to an old wooden, rugged cross. And notice the words, a wooden, rugged cross. They laid him on that cross, nailed his hands and his feet to that cross, and then lifted it up, let it fall down into the hole. And when you were crucified, in order to breathe, you had to lift yourself up in order for your lungs to be able to be filled with air. So think about it with me this morning. A back that is torn from the whipping, rubbing on that old wooden rugged cross every time our Savior drew a breath, every time he pushed himself up, the pain that would go through his back would just be excruciating. In fact, the psalmist predicts that as Jesus hung on the cross and that people came by to see him, as they looked at him, they could not even tell he was a human being. He was beaten so badly that he just looked like a mass of flesh. His body was broken. His blood was shed. Why? Not for any sin that he committed. He was tempted in all points like as we, the Bible says, yet without sin. And when we think about that cross that Darwin sung about a moment ago, we see on that cross a perfect man, one that never had an evil thought, and one that never did an evil deed, one that never spoke a word that he shouldn't have said, one that never left undone anything that should be done. A perfect man, and yet more than a man, the Son of God, the Prince of Heaven, the Creator and the Sustainer of the world. Stripped, scarred, wounded, bruised. Why? For me. For you. When I think about Jesus, I think about the price that he paid for my sin. Because you see, I'm the sinner. I'm the guilty one. I'm the one who deserved the wages of sin. I mean, when he hung on the cross, he paid the price of our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and it's not physical death, although he died physically on the cross. It's spiritual death. And when God the Father turned his back on Jesus, and Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was paying the price for our sin. Because you see, you and I, were the ones that should have been crucified. You and I are the ones that hung on the cross. You and I are the ones that have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I are the ones that owe the penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. You and I are the ones that he offers that perfect gift of salvation to when he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I are the ones that can claim that gift. The Bible says in John 1:9, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I will remind you this morning, just as urgently as I know how, he went to the cross for you. He paid the price of your sins. He wants to save you this morning. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you need to come this morning. Because you see, it's not good works. It's not taking communion like we're going to do tonight. It's not baptism. It's not anything that the church has to offer. It's what Jesus offered after he died on Calvary. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Because when we talk about Jesus, every single one of us is reminded of the price that he paid for our sin. Number two, when we talk about Jesus, we're reminded that we're not our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I don't belong to myself this morning. I belong to God. If you're a Christian here this morning, you do not belong to yourself either. You belong to God. And if we could get to that truth in our hearts and our minds, then we would understand that I don't get to decide on my own how I'm going to spend my life. I don't get to decide on my own what my priorities are going to be. I don't get to decide on my own what I'm going to pursue with my life. My life belongs to God. I've been purchased, and I need to offer myself, and you need to offer yourself to Him as a living sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is reasonable. Listen to me. It is reasonable for you and I to find out what God wants us to do with our life and then to do it, because we're not our own. I've told you this story before, but it makes the point in a wonderful way. Little boy made him a model sailboat. He worked on it for several weeks, painted it up. It was shiny. It was bright. He carved his initials in the bottom of it. And there was a lake near the town where he lived, so he took it out, put it on that lake, and see if it would sail. Well, sure enough, when he put it down on the water, a gust of wind caught the little sail that he had on it, and off into the sunset, it went sailing. He thought he'd lost it forever. A few days later, he was passing through town into a consignment shop where people sell things, and he looked in the window, and there was his little boat. And so he goes into the shop and says to the owner of the shop, Mister, that's my boat you have in the window. And the shop owner says, what do you mean that's your boat? I just bought that from another little boy that came in here a few minutes ago, said he wanted to sell it. And the little boy said, no, that's my boat. If you go and pick it up and look on the bottom, it has my initials, RG. I carved them in the bottom of that boat myself. And the store owner went over and picked up the boat, and sure enough, in the bottom of that little boat was carved the initials, RG. And the shop owner says, well, I'm sorry, son. I paid money for that little boat. I just can't give it to you, but if you bring me the money and buy it, I'll sell it to you. And the little boy said, well, how much are you selling it for? And the shop owner named a price, and the little boy said, well, I don't have that much money right now. Would you hold it for me? And the shop owner said, well, that's the least I can do for you since it's your boat. I'll hold it for you. And so he went home, and he talked to his parents and got some extra chores to do. He cut the neighbor's lawn. He worked for about 3 weeks and made enough money that he could go back to that store. And early one Saturday morning, he was there first in line when the door opened. And he walked in. He said, Mister, I got the money. I want my boat. So he paid the shop owner the money and walked out holding that little boat in his hands. And as he walked out, he said, little boat, you're mine twice. I made you and I bought you. You're mine. That's what Jesus says to every single one of us. I made you and I bought you. You're mine. You're mine. I have no right, and you have no right as a Christian to say, well, this is what I'm going to do with my life. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to our Savior. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. When we talk about Jesus, we're reminded the cost that He paid, the price that He paid for our sins. We're reminded that we're not our own. And then number three, we're reminded of the charge that He has given us to tell others about Him. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, there's some people that teach today that God has picked some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. They talk about this doctrine of predestination and this doctrine of election. Oh yeah, God's elected some people to go to heaven and God's elected some people to go to hell. Hogwash! God has elected everybody to go to hell. By the way, that's a Greek term. Hogwash. It's in the Greek. Just thought I'd throw that in for you so you could learn some little Greek as we go along. Listen, God has elected nobody to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yeah, there's a vote going on, and God's already cast His ballot. I want everybody to go to heaven. Satan has cast his ballot. I want everybody to go to hell. Who gets to break the tie? You do. I do. How we vote, how we choose, makes the difference about whether we go to heaven or hell. And after we get saved, God has given us a wonderful commission, a wonderful charge. He says, I want you to go into the world, and I want you to tell everybody, every person, every creature about me. Now, some of us are hesitant to do that. I mean, we have neighbors that live next to us that we've never talked to about Christ. We have people that work in the same office or in the same factory that we do. We've never told about Jesus. We have people that maybe that we go to school with as teenagers that we never told about Christ. And sometimes we think, well, I can't do that. I just don't know how to do it. I don't know what words I would use. And I bring you back to the story the account that was in our scripture reading this morning, when Peter and John stood before the religious leaders of their day, and they said, we do not want you to preach and teach or say anything about Jesus at all. We do not want him on the tip of your tongue. We do not want words about him coming out of your mouth. Do you understand? And Peter and John said, yes, we understand. And whether it's right to obey you or right to obey God, we don't know. But this one thing we do know. We can't help but talk about the things that we have seen and heard. We can't help it. It'd be like one of the prophets talked about where he said, I'm going to try not to say anything about God. And the Bible says it was like a fire that was burning in his soul, and it was burning and churning. And he said, I had to let it out. I had to talk about it because I was going to explode. I couldn't keep it to myself. And I challenge you this morning, if we spent more time thinking about Jesus and talking about Jesus, and we were reminded the price that he paid for our salvation and the fact that he has bought us and we are not our own, we would tell other people about him. We couldn't help it. We couldn't hold it in. I mean, it would have to, we would feel just like that prophet. If I try to hold it in, I'm going to explode. I got to tell somebody about Christ. I got to tell somebody how to get saved. I got to tell somebody about how to get to heaven. I can't help but speak about the things that I have heard and seen. Heard and seen. And if you're a Christian, you know what God has done in your life. You know what Jesus has done for you. How can you keep that in? Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's talk about him. Nothing wrong with talking about sports. Nothing wrong with talking about all those other things that were on the list. But why would Jesus be at the bottom? Let's make sure he's on the top of our list. Let's talk about him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we've been reminded this morning in both song and through your word what the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that's never received Christ as their Savior, that right now they would understand that they're a sinner. The penalty for that sin is to be separated from you. And the only hope they have is to come to the one that paid the price for their sins. Come to the one that died for them. Come to the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And Father, if there's just one this morning, I pray they would come to Jesus. Speak to the many Christians that are here. Help us to realize that we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to you. And you have a right to direct our lives. And you have a right. You've commanded us to go and tell others about Christ. Help us to do that. Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to listen and to be obedient to what you tell us to do. We'll make sure that Jesus gets all the glory. First, in his name we pray. Amen.